Welcome to this interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. André Neuendorf, the director, owner, and president of Protas Shipping in Canada. First of all, welcome to this interview, André.
Thank you, Bo. Nice to be here.
Likewise. Good to have you. André, as you might have seen in my previous interviews, I always let the interviewee tell a little bit about their history. How did they end up in the position they're in? And so it goes to you. How come you are where you are? When and where did your career start?
Yeah, my career was like accident with a lot of people. But the I'm based in Montreal now. I grew up in Toronto. I studied finance, economics there. And on graduation, I didn't have a job. So this is actually, Protas was a family business started by my father back in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So he suggested, why don't you take a summer job in Montreal as a boarding clerk? Having never lived here, I thought, okay, fine. So I came to Montreal and worked as a boarding clerk from starting in June for Proto Shipping, clearing ships going out into the St. Lawrence, the usual things done in those days, and came to really like the business. So stayed for approximately another year here. And then I got a, I thought I'd go further in shipping, and I got a job in Germany.
Okay.
I moved to Hamburg, where I worked for a ship agency, specifically in the in their Sealand department. Okay. We were, Protas was at the time the agent for Sealand, and that's how I managed to get that position.
Okay.
And I worked there for this agency for approximately a year. And then wanted to learn other things and got a job with a broker owner in Hamburg, a company that no longer exists called Willemma Hansen at the time.
All right.
And they were at the advent of the, not only did they do competitive chartering, as well as they had a bulk grain desk, but they also were doing at the very beginning of the KG with the smaller container ships.
Right.
They did a lot of financing, and I worked in the finance department, so on and so forth. Did that for a while, came back to Canada, had met some people in Europe in the reefer business, and then I set up a little company of our own called Frigo Ship Chartering, and we did work with international reefers at the time. And fixed small ships, 900 to 1400 ton deadweight with frozen fish cargoes out of the Eastern Canada into Europe. Some larger sizes going into the Far East. We ran a little liner service for about 2 years that we started off from the US South Atlantic and East Coast into the Canary Islands, where we loaded it between 900 and 1400 tons of frozen chicken. Okay. Every 6 weeks.
Wow.
And so it just developed like that. Then rejoined Protas when the reefer market sort of weakened a bit, and just worked here in the company and as it developed, and then took over Protas about 15 years ago.
Okay. That's a fantastic career. At least you can say you've been outside North America, which of course helps in the understanding of shipping too, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially, well, I think in those, Hamburg was very much part of the center of shipping at that time in Europe.
Yeah, definitely. Where would you say the Protas are today? You have where do you have your offices in Canada, your headcount? What are your main activities? Can you elaborate a little bit on the activities of and locations of Protas right now?
Yeah, Protas was, as I said before, was started off as an agency. Protas was the during the agency days, started off Sealand in Canada.
Right.
Protas started Hanjin at the time in Canada. We were the agents for Ned Lloyd, P&O, Wilhelmsen Lines, Navieras to Puerto Rico, all of these large lines that then developed and you know, opened up their own offices after a period of time.
Right.
Today, we have offices in Halifax, Montreal, and Toronto.
Okay.
With a close associate in Vancouver. And we have a representative in St. John, New Brunswick.
The
company is focused today. We do more niche lines, niche carriers. We Melfi lines into the Cuba, the Caribbean, Bari, Tote Maritime. We do work with, and we've done WEC lines with through some of their business into East Africa from here. Then we do some project charter. We got very much involved over the years in the project business in the Great Lakes and grain cargoes into Cuba and South America.
That's
where the company is today, with about 21 people through three offices.
That's very interesting, Andre. You mentioned that you are now an agent for some of the niche carriers. I mean, nobody can escape the fact that in the recent, let's say, couple of decades, the shipping agent has been under pressure. And as soon as the going has been good, the ship owner started their own. But do you see the situation now? Of course, we all know now the ship owners are earning more money than ever before because of this current world trade situation. But do you see a good future for being a shipping agent in today's shipping world? Or do you think that it's a, let's say, dying breed? What's your opinion on that?
I think there's certainly room for specifically for the niche carriers to be able to have service, operational, customer service, accounting services on the spot, which are too expensive for them to run. The larger lines are going to, you know, with the advent of the internet, it's moved them a lot closer to their customer. Plus the consolidation with all the carriers, which is going on the larger size. I think as far as agency goes in Canada or in general with representing large carriers, large container lines, I think that era has ended.
I think
for the niche carriers, it's still there. And I think we'll actually thrive still for the future.
Yeah, no, it reminds me a little bit about an interview I had with the Corey brothers in the UK. They echoed similar sentiments like yours, that of course the big container lines, they are closer to the customer thanks to the internet. On the other hand, at least the niche carriers will know that with an agency like yours, they have the hands-on customer service and you don't have any conflict of interest with other carriers under the same roof, right?
Yeah, that's correct. The conflicts of interest are gone, but that's why we've also had to expand our business. You know, we do a lot of vessel husbandry. I mean, over the years, this company's been in business since 1956, and has developed an excellent relationship with all types of people necessary for shipping, be it the government authorities, the various pilotage authorities, the port authorities, the stevedores. We've got a very deep bench to draw talent on internally and to be able to reach out to all of these people. So we can offer that service to people that aren't here and be it tramp operators, be it project carriers that are looking for a different way and to our customers. And that's also why we've gotten into certain logistics and project logistics, knowing how the freight should move and can move and how to find the best economics for that.
Yeah. Now, you definitely have a good network. I know the name of Protos all the way since even before I visited you, I think some 20 odd years ago now, or as my wife would tell me, 30 kilos ago for me. So, but certainly you have
brown hair there.
yeah. Thank you. Also, I think many people, they know that Canada is a big country, but I wonder if they really know how big. Can you put just a few numbers on the size of your country? I mean, from east to west, just to have an idea, let's say the almost continent you are sitting in.
well, how to put it? To fly from the east, say St. John's, Newfoundland, to Victoria on Vancouver Island is approximately 8.5 hours.
Okay. So it gives some idea that as a shipping agent, you really need to have a personal network. You can't just be anywhere anytime, you know.
No, exactly right. And you know, when you look at the And that's what, excuse me, if you're looking at specific cargoes and entry points, if somebody has a project to go into Alberta, for example, where the oil sand, how do you best reach that? It's cargo specific. Can you come into the port of Montreal and rail it in, depending on the weight and the dimensions? Do you have to go into Thunder Bay, where you can perhaps truck it in? Or if it's too big, then you have to go into Duluth and truck it up, or even go into Houston and through the high and heavy corridors, bring it into that area. So it's like Canada is so big, this, and there's so many different areas to go into on project cargo specifically, that you have to look at exactly what's the final destination. There's different ways, multiple different ways of getting there. What's the most cost effective?
Right. No, it certainly requires know-how, and I know that you have it. Would you also say that could Canada be used for, let's say, from a project cargo perspective, as a transshipment point into the Midwest? I mean, the other way, is Canada sometimes used as a transshipment point, or is it mainly via U.S. ports to Canada, would you say?
No. You very much so. You can, again, depending upon what it is for, you know, with the container carriers as an example, moving more and more out of gauge cargo. That could be moved then by either truck or by rail from Halifax or from Montreal into the U.S. Midwest.
Okay.
We've got some seamless rail corridors going in there.
Okay.
And that can be done as well. So you can load right at the port onto your rail cars and bring it in. Certain cargoes, you know, we've discharged cargoes in Halifax and trucked them into Chicago. Because sometimes there's less road permitting going on. It's really each one is sort of unique. Each move has to be looked at as a unique move.
Yeah. No, I do understand. I've just heard from, as you know, I'm a chairman of a couple of networks of project freight forwarders. And I've often heard from various dealing with projects into the States that they get shafted on the inland in the US. It can be awesomely expensive to move something inland in the US. And there seems to be rules for just about anything, whereas Canada seems to be more... shall I say, Western-minded or open-minded or more flexible? Is that a correct?
Yeah, I think it is slightly more flexible in the sense that there's less authorities that you have to go through. Each state has its own authority. Each one can have its own rules and regulations. And it's the same situation in Canada. However, there's less of them when you're going to a certain point.
So I think
in that sense, it's easier to control. But you have to, again, look at the cost. You know, you can go into the U.S. lakes ports. We clear a lot of ships going into the U.S. lakes ports for the Midwest.
Right.
But it's expensive. You know, today, you know, when I started off in this business, you could send a ship from Escamane, which is the first pilot station in the St. Lawrence River, to Duluth, an approximate 6-day voyage. You could do that for $85,000 round trip. Today, you're almost at $200,000 to do just on pilotage and tolls.
Gosh.
So it adds up, right?
Definitely. You can certainly burn your fingers if you haven't done your calculation with the right agent. How do you go about, Andrea, to let the world know that Protus exists? I mean, although you are, of course, well known from many years, decades ago, how do you do your marketing? Are you part of any networks? Do you do any, of course, now we can't visit due to COVID, but how do you make sure that the world knows that you exist in Canada?
Well, we joined belatedly the CLC Project Network and also the Cross Ocean Network. We're looking at some others. It's always, you know, we've always been very strong on an operational and customer service basis.
Yeah.
But our weakness has been promoting ourselves per se. We've been too busy focusing on our clients. Yeah. So we're now part of those groups. During meetings, when you could travel, we traveled a lot, met with owners, went to the various breakbulk conferences and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But now we are going through the various networks to try to promote ourselves more and show people, try to get people to understand the services that we can offer them in order for them to benefit from that.
right, right. That's very interesting. A question that I have also personally, I never read up too much on the history of Canada and the French part of Canada. Can you tell me, you're in Montreal, a lot of people speak French there. Was it so that, give me a little history lesson here. How come it's so French in that part of Canada and but it's still part of Canada, you know what I mean? Can you explain a little how this situation came about?
But it's simply when Canada was originally colonized, the first people to come in and colonize Canada were the French under Jacques Cartier and Samuel de Champlain, and they established their colony per se. The British were in Ontario and Western Canada. Okay. And that's just how it developed.
So a lot of people sitting in Montreal would still be speaking French, but they of course also speak English, right?
Yeah, Quebec is a French speaking province. It's the working language of the province of Quebec. Canada is officially a bilingual country. Though if you go to the West Coast, it doesn't seem that way. But Quebec, it promotes the French in Quebec, and it is the working language of Quebec.
So that's very interesting. It's I know, for example, in Finland, where I'm living in Sweden, but in Finland they also have officially a dual language. They learn Swedish in the school, although it's a minority now that let's say still remember Swedish. But officially, you have two languages. But in any case, it never hurts to have more than one language, right?
it's very positive for everybody. It adds, the culture here is actually is different than I would say in the rest of Canada. It's I like it. So it's very nice. That's French Jean-Louis.
I certainly know that you have good restaurants there. That's what the French are mainly famous for.
Good restaurants. It's also very Quebec, Montreal. Quebec has a very strong entrepreneurial class as well. This is a very interesting place in the sense of resources, mining, hydroelectric. It's green energy, transportation networks, good education. Montreal itself has got five outstanding universities. It's a province of the future. There's no two ways about it.
It sounds very. I visited there only several years ago, but it's certainly time to go there again soon. How do you see here in the last couple of questions that I have for you? One question is, of course, the ever returning COVID situation. Has that impacted on you?
It's impacted on us. Yes, it's personally. Well, personally, we're all living in a bubble, right? I still go to work. There's a few people that come in here. We sort of stay apart from each other. I prefer to work here, even though I only live 10 minutes from the office. But the country itself is, the cases in Quebec are declining. Ontario still has a lot of issues. I think in general, we're in the same situation as a lot of other Western countries, in that a certain percentage of the population is doing extremely well during COVID. A certain percentage of the population from an economic perspective is doing very poorly, and the rest of them are just keeping the status quo. So it's the people in the service industry that are really being affected negatively that has to come around. And also, and the young people. Anybody below the age of 35 is just going, this is not the life that I wanted to lead, living at home all the time.
No, of course not. Let's hope the rollout of vaccinations is picking up speed. I heard here in Sweden that my age group, if they took the kilo group, I would be first. But since it's the age group, it'll be sometime mid-May. So at least something's happening. My final question, Andre, to you is, what's in the future for Protos Shipping? Continue to market yourselves actively abroad and continue to service your current clients well, or any new things under the sun for you?
No, I think we'll just continue the pace we're doing now. We've been fairly successful with some of the businesses that we've been doing. We've made more inroads with people that are coming in, asking us for assistance in delivering their products in Canada. We've had some interesting movements. We did a number of larger pieces in the 250 ton plus range. Last year, where we arranged both the inlands and the barging and the ocean. We've taken ships on charter as protos to move some project cargoes. I think we'll keep in our niche, assist owners as much as possible from a husbandry perspective and try to lend our expertise and get closer to the clients.
Okay, now that's a very good policy, Andre. And certainly I can tell our viewers that I know you from experience and also what you've done in your company. So you have a good name and certainly the one to go to for Canada. I want to say and I should say to our viewers also that you didn't pay me to say this. So it is out of my own free will.
I will buy you a beer.
Okay, that's whenever we can meet face to face for sure. Andre, I want to say many, many thanks for answering concisely and clearly and in a happy spirit to my questions. Thank you for joining.
Well, it's always a pleasure. A very nice meeting you again and even on camera. I look forward to the day we can meet face to face again.
You count on that. And to all our viewers, listeners, readers, and around the world, this was yet another great interview, and this time with our special guest of honor, the president and owner of Protos Shipping in Canada, Mr. Andrew Neuendorf. Do contact him if you need any help anywhere in Canada. And for me, thank you from me, and stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.